And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
That is the Easter refrain, and it declares over and again the summary of our faith. Jesus of Nazareth, the one who died, lives again. The chorus of the resurrection that we sing now resonates through every crest and crevice of creation. Jesus Christ left the tomb, leaving only death in his grave. The Spirit of life now reigns on earth, for that same Spirit gave breath to Eve and to Adam, spoke into being every ounce of water and atom of matter. That very same Spirit brought back from hell the body of Jesus. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
That's why we gather today. Not for eggs, though eggs are fun. Not for brunch, though who doesn't like brunch? We gather because Christ rose from the dead. And that changes quite literally everything. Yet, of course, in our gospel reading, just as you would expect Jesus to do, he immediately flips the attention away from himself and on to others. Rather than bask in the glory of his resurrection, strut his stuff a little bit, as it were, Jesus instead points to the disciples and says, "You are witnesses of these things." Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the honest to goodness resurrection of Jesus in the body. For as he says, ghosts don't have flesh and bones like you see I have. This is the same body that the disciples had touched. The same body that eats this fish is the same body that healed the man born blind. The body they encounter ate the Last Supper with them, taught them how to pray, spoke forgiveness into their hearts. We are witnesses that life, real, touchable, tangible, breathable, even smellable life, won out over the decay of death. Some people... And by some people, I point at myself when I say some people. This isn't the accusatory some people. Some people wonder what difference it makes whether Jesus actually rose from the dead. To be perfectly honest, it's a hard thing to believe, right? I mean, those of us that have worked with death, it seems like a very final thing. Paul in 1 Corinthians puts it pretty succinctly, though, why this is important. If Jesus Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. Some pretty strong words. Kind of a career thing going on here, right? Like, if Jesus Christ isn't raised from the dead, then why are we here on Sunday morning and not already at brunch? Our faith is built upon a belief, a faith, a trust that Jesus really did die and then rose out of the grave to renewed life. But what difference does that make 2,000 years later? Let's say, okay, true. Let's just give it some mental assent. Great. What does that matter to us? Why does it matter that we are bodily witnesses of a bodily resurrection? Simply put, you aren't just data. You're more than zeros and ones stored in a machine. You're not just a software program with fleshy hardware. You're so much more than a meat container with a mind. And Jesus came to save all of you. Not just some of you, not just a select portion of you. The story of Easter is the story of the full redemption of humanity. Body and mind given new life through the Spirit. This word redemption needs a little bit of explanation. Because we don't often use it much anymore, with the exception of church, coupons, and arcade tickets. To redeem something means to give it value, or restore value, or honor a value that's not inherent to the thing. So if you go to the arcade and you earn a bunch of tickets playing skee-ball, like Michelle, Michelle loves skee-ball, if you didn't know this about her, you can then redeem those tickets for prizes. Even though these tickets have no value as currency, go try to buy a gallon of milk with 400 tickets. The attendant redeems them and says, "These are as valuable as a giant orange-striped clownfish." That, you know, we can't call Nemo because Disney owns those rights, but it sure looks a lot like Nemo. Or if you're as bad as I am at the arcade, you'll bring so practically few tickets, they'll say, "These are as valuable as a gumball, a used eraser, and one of those slappy hands that you throw at the wall." In other words, tickets don't have value until someone gives them value. That's what redemption is. So what God does for us is redeem us. Because before the resurrection of Jesus, our value was tied to our sin. But when Jesus broke the chains of the grave, he brought humanity an entirely new value, not one based in our actions, but one based in his action of life, death, and resurrection. We're redeemed. We are given value because God looks at us through the lens of Jesus. God looks at each of us as though we are Jesus, even though we don't deserve it. That's why Easter's redemption is different than an arcade. The redemption we experience in Jesus Christ doesn't depend on how many tickets you can produce, or whether you're the platinum coupon club to get that VIP 60% off. There's not enough tickets in all of the world's arcades to earn our way back. Instead, when God becomes human in Jesus, God gives divine value to human existence. God gives all that is human, bodies and minds, eternal value. Jesus dies because that's what humans do, but Jesus rises from the dead to secure that divine value forever in our human forms. That is redemption, that God's value now belongs inside of us. So when we say all of us is redeemed, we mean that our bodies and minds are destined for eternity. Now, your next question I can't answer. I can't explain the physics of it. One of the admittances of our faith is that it is a mystery, that it is a miracle. But it's a miracle that God invites us to participate in today, to live our eternal value right now. The resurrection is God's invitation for us to enter the miraculous in our day-to-day lives, that realm where all things are possible in Christ Jesus. We are witnesses of God's redemption of all humanity, of you and of me and of indeed all people. So what does that mean, working it out? It means that God looks at your body as Jesus's body and calls it holy. No matter how negatively you might look at your body or how terribly others have treated it, you are loved and valued in your bodily life more than you could ever imagine. And the same is true for others' bodies as well, for all are created in God's image, and so all deserve our respect. None deserve the violence that we so often do to bodies, because Jesus redeemed those bodies as well. None deserve the same anxieties, the same accusations, the same hatred, because Jesus calls those bodies beloved too. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the resurrection of Jesus, God sealed divinity in our human bodies. But also with your minds, Jesus looks, or God looks at your mind as Jesus's mind and calls it holy. No matter what your mind is able to do, no matter your ACT scores, no matter if your memory isn't quite what it used to be, God calls your mind holy. Not because of anything that you've done, but because in the resurrection of Jesus, God sealed divinity in all of our humanity. In Jesus' resurrection, God redeemed all bodies and all minds. So let me be clear about what that means. Bodies of all races, black and white and brown and all places in between. Body of all shapes and sizes. Bodies of all abilities. Bodies that walk and bodies that roll. Bodies of all genders, slow bodies and fast bodies. And minds. minds that learn in different ways, minds that love other people in different ways, minds that don't speak our language or even communicate in the ways that we understand, minds that exist across the spectrum of activity, minds that face depression or ADHD. There is no body that Jesus did not rise to save. No mind that Jesus did not rise to save. God intends to redeem all of us on this day. That's why the wounds on Jesus' hands and feet make such a difference. This is truly his body, a body that still carries the evidence of his struggles. These are truly our bodies, and our bodies are shaped by our struggles. These are bodies that have succeeded and failed, the bodies that we have strengthened and broken. And yet God redeems even our wounds, using our scars as evidence for that resurrection purpose. God doesn't force us to suffer, but in Jesus' crucifixion suffers with us. And in Jesus' resurrection, heals all of us, body and mind. So that's the good news in Jesus. In the resurrection, all of you is healed and made whole. Our humanity, all of it, is restored in Jesus' journey from death into life. The invitation of the church at its best is to come discover what that life looks like, to explore in a community how to take hold of this new life that Jesus brings into our bodies and minds. My prayer for you this Easter is that you would know two things. First, that Jesus saved all of you through his death and resurrection. And second, that Jesus invites you to understand that so deeply that it changes your life beginning today. That's what we're witnesses of. You are witnesses of new life in the body. And here together in this community called Christ Lutheran Church, we are committed to learning this story so that we can tell a story in a way that helps the whole world know God's love for them in Jesus. You are witnesses of what God has done, not just raising Jesus from the grave, but bringing new life to us all. And of course, what do we know that witnesses do that makes them useful? They tell their stories so that others can know the truth that they've seen. So my friends, my prayer isn't just that you would know those things, but that you would share that transformation, that as witnesses you would speak of the goodness that you have seen, sharing the gift of the gospel that everyone has a Savior who's died and risen again to give them divine life today. After all, who couldn't use some transformation in their lives? Christ is risen, friends.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. We join together.